can actually communicate and confirm this session. And we are very happy that His Grace Badri Narayan Prabhu, a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, is the temple president and GBC at San Diego. They are building a huge, beautiful temple at San Diego, California, for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and the people there. And he's been coming here at the GBC meetings every year, and I've had the fortune of attending some of his really brilliant classes. And and so I thought that he can share his nectar amongst all the students here in Mumbai. At very short notice, he agreed, although it was a very hectic schedule, traveling all the way from America. And he just has not yet recovered from the jet lag, but still he's here this evening with us. We would like to express our gratitude to His Grace Badri Narayan Prabhu by very loudly chanting. And he's going to be speaking on a very interesting topic: what money cannot. Thank you very much. And now let us hear His Grace Badri Narayan Prabhu. And there can be some questions and answers after this session. And then there will be a singing of Damodar Ashtakam. And we have with us His Grace Vishnu Chaitanya Prabhu. He is the temple president from ISKCON, Malaysia. And he is the person who actually was the brainchild behind this Damodar festival scheme. So the Damodar kits which we have made this year for distributing in different households, that's basically coming from Malaysia. And he'll be leading us in the singing of the Damodar Ashtakam at the end of this session. At 9 o'clock onwards, there will be singing of Damodar Ashtak. And when you go down for prasadam, in the Vrindavan forest, you can go in from one end, offer lamps to Sri Sri Radha Damodar, Yashoda Damodar, come out from the other end and join for the prasadam. So that's the scheme for the Damodar lamp offering this evening. So now I request His Grace Badri Narayan Prabhu to begin his talk. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Oh, we just... Thank you. I have a bad back, and it's a weight on my neck. So I don't mean to commit any offense against the deities. I appreciate very much. But when you get to be my age, you'll understand. You have to make a number of compensations. What is our time schedule? You tell me, what is our...
We can go until 9 with everything. Question, answers, everything complete by 9.
Oh, we'll end earlier than that.
Whatever.
Okay. Do we sing Jai Radha Madhava?
Yeah.
I thought of it. Thank you very much for that introduction. May your words become true. I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada one time. And I was a young man... Yes, Prabhus. I was once, as you are now, I once was. Here's the scary part. As I am now, you will become. So don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. So I was on a morning walk. I was a young man. I was a young temple president. And... I asked Srila Prabhupada, what does it mean to be a temple president? And I thought, with my mundane mind, that he will say, oh, you're on the front lines serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or you're my empowered representative. Prabhupada stopped, put his cane down, sized me up, and said, if anything goes wrong, it's your fault. Which was very good instruction, what it means to be in charge. You know, we have our idea, but actually, it means you take responsibility. You know, you're responsible. So we'll chant Jai Radha Madhava. And before, you know, Radhanath Maharaj is such a saintly, tolerant person. He was fine, very good, you know. But here's the funny part. So we get in the car, and it says, a woman's voice, not to pick on ladies, it could reverse, it could be men, but a woman's voice says, a door is not shut, a door is not shut. A woman shuts the door, says, fasten your seatbelt, turn left, turn left, all right, turn right, too hot, too cold, you're speeding, this and that, you know. After a while, Radhanath Maharaj said, this is worse than being married. So it was pretty blissful. And it did have the effect of reducing the man's pride just a little bit, you know, so it was a good thing. That is one of the duties of a sadhu, to speak truth to power, you know. Well, because we've got some time, Srila Prabhupada was humility personified. But remind me, I want to say something where Prabhupada was a little sharp, because I was saying sadhu, truth to power. What was I going to say? You have to excuse me, it is a little bit, for me, I'm a little dis. Anyway. Oh, I wanted to make the point of Prabhupada being humility personified. Well, I'll think of two examples, there's so many. You know, they asked Prabhupada, why did you come to America? Now we know, well, I'll say this first. Why did you come to America? Prabhupada said, well, some of my godbrothers were sent to London and they failed. Another godbrother, he was sent to Germany and he failed. I thought if I'm going to fail, at least let me fail in a new place. Actually, Prabhupada knew that the whole world is falling America. And if you can turn America, you can turn the world. So Prabhupada is a Senapati Bhakta, the great general sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada had his strategy very clearly, and it was completely effective. And Prabhupada knew that in India, they're all following the West at that time. I mean, India was third world, America's first world. Now India's becoming first world, America's becoming third world. But Prabhupada knew that if I can go to the West and turn America and come back to India with some Western devotees, then that'll turn India. And it is completely true. You know, Prabhupada had his strategy inspired by Krishna. So, but just let me fail in a new place, that humility. Another time we were in an airport, a Detroit airport. The whole airport was crowded. You know, you can just imagine hundreds of devotees and throwing rose petals and showering rose water and full dandavats and chanting the entire Brahma Samhita on the floor, you know. And so the passengers, no one could, you know, the ordinary passengers, not devotees, coming into the airport, all the plane exits, I guess whatever you would call it, came into this one hub, and it was just jammed up. And, you know, you had devotee offering dandavats, and some guy trying to get through with his suitcase, you know, and he was pushing the devotee was pushing, it was about to blow up, you know, somebody was going to haul off and whack somebody. So Rupa Nuga Prabhu was the chairman of the GBC at the point. He stood up, and he said, all ISKCON devotees, please leave the terminal. The only devotee who followed that instruction was Srila Prabhupada. It's true. Prabhupada thought, well, I'm an ISKCON devotee. My leader is making, Prabhupada got his little bag and got it. Said, no, Prabhupada, you can stay. Oh, all right, he sat down, you know. And I had another experience that Prabhupada, in Detroit, in his quarters, there were no pictures, in his darshan room, there was no picture of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he wanted a picture of his Guru Maharaj, naturally, you know. So he had seen in the temple room, we had a nice big frame picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada said to the temple president, you can just bring that painting up, and you put it here. You know, there's a picture of Lord Nisringadev. You move this over to there, and you know, like that. So he'd have a nice picture by his desk. Now, this picture was big as one of these window frames here. And big gold, you know, frame, carved wood frame. Very heavy, you know. So by Krishna's grace, I happened to be walking by. Temple president said, you know, okay, can you help me? So we came, myself and another brahmachari. We thought that Prabhupada was out in his garden, having darshan out in his garden. And we came in, and Prabhupada was sitting on his desk writing. So we left. The Prabhupada said, no, what is that? Come in. And then, you know, Prabhupada never missed a trick, you know. Prabhupada could immediately understand what was going on. Prabhupada said, oh, you can bring it in. You hang it up, you know. Temple president said, well, Prabhupada, I'm afraid that, you know, you're working at your desk. Do you want to get up? Just get up for a moment, and we'll hang it. And you can. I said, no, Prabhupada's working. I said, no, you go ahead. So, you know, we've got this big wood frame and we're trying to hang it on this nail. I know that I'm going to be the one that bumps into Prabhupada, you know. So again, the temple president said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, we're afraid that we're going to bump you. Do you want to move? No. Still, we're struggling. Third time, Prabhupada, do you want to move? Prabhupada said, what? For service, you can stand on my head. Prabhupada's statement, you know. So, I mean, just in so many ways, I mean, we could go on and on and on and on about how Prabhupada's humility personified. But he would also speak very strongly sometime. And there was a radio show that Prabhupada went on. I mean, we'll get to the heart of the thing in a moment. But there was a radio show that Srila Prabhupada went on in Los Angeles. And we were all young devotees. We were listening to the radio and Prabhupada was on the show. And the man was trying to be, you know, they try to get some upper edge and, you know, they try to trick the guy. You know, that's rasa in American media. So at one point the man said, you know, you're coming from India. And India is an impoverished country. You know, 1970. You know, India had, you know. So he said, what can you possibly teach us? The death rate is so high in India. Prabhupada said, the death rate's the same everywhere. 100%. So, I mean, we have to get back to work, but it went on and on and on like that. The man became so frustrated. The man said, well, what would happen if the whole world became Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, don't worry. There'll always be fools like you who won't. They asked Prabhupada, is the world flat? He said, everywhere I walk it is. And then Prabhupada said, except for New Vrindavan. If you've been to New Vrindavan, they got a lot of hills that Prabhupada had to walk up, you know. So, and then Prabhupada, when he got back, he said, this is the special dispensation for old men and little children. They can go anywhere and can say anything. So, you know, we can't, you know, we shouldn't be like that. But Prabhupada, people could sense that Prabhupada actually wanted to help them. So he could speak very directly sometimes. And we should also speak directly. But let's chant Jai Radha Mata just shortly, and then we'll get to the topic today. Also, thank you all for coming. So many things you could be doing in life. All Maya. No, good to see you. In the West, in the early days, being a devotee, ISKCON devotee, Krishna devotee, you might as well have been a Martian. They saw you walking down the street in a dhoti, tilak, and a sikha, and they wondered, where is the mothership? That you've come from outer space. So one devotee, young devotee, Bhakta, he moved into the temple. And the parents became... And on one hand, you can understand. They're thinking that their child's going to become a doctor or a lawyer. They've invested so much time and effort in it. And then the kid goes south and joins some strange group. So the parents managed, because he was underage, they had him committed to a mental hospital. Must have lost his mind. Some little blue boy is telling him he doesn't have to finish college. What is this, you know? Of course, no problem finishing college, but the boy became a devotee. So after a few days, the head psychologist began to visit, met the devotee, this young bhakta. And, you know, one of the first things they tried to do to see, are you hearing voices? Or, you know, they try, are you schizophrenic? You know, is it just neurosis or psychosis? What's going on? So they asked, the doctor asked the devotee, are you seeing things? And the devotee said, well, I'm seeing, but I'm not seeing like you're seeing. So the doctor said, you know. So the doctor said, well, what do you mean? And the devotee said, well, they were sitting in this solarium, you know, with the bars on the, you know, with the, in the out, you know, and there was a table there and there was a vase of flowers. And he said, well, you see these flowers and you think it's something beautiful. Let me take it and I can charm my wife or some girlfriend or, you know, in this way I'll get some enjoyment. He says, but I don't see that. I see constantly mutable earth, fire, water, air, ether. It's come in a, you know, it's a river of names. Now it's taken a form. That form will not last. Ultimately, it has no significance other than it's being the Mahabhuta or the flow of material nature. However, that thing which has no value, when used in the service of the Supreme. If I take this to the temple and I offer to Krishna, the Supreme Lord, then the flowers benefit, I benefit, the man who grew, everyone benefits. And the psychiatrist dropped his jaw. And he said, to his credit, he said, "You're not crazy." He said, "You're the first sane person I've ever met." So he, it's a true story. So he signed the devotee out. He said, "You don't believe, your work is too important. What do you think? You don't belong in here. I'm very embarrassed that this has happened to you. Please forgive us." And they were signing him out at the front desk. You know, they were releasing him. Sign this form, that form, you know. The father showed up, saw his son, devotee's son, with the doctor. They obviously appeared to have had some conversation and a meeting of the minds. So the father's very happy that the son's going to come back and work in the fender bender factory or whatever the son was designated to do. And the doctor said, "I've had a long talk with your son. We've had a meeting of the minds, and I really think we're in good shape. We're releasing him today." The father was so shocked, he began to hyperventilate. The doctor said, "You seem to have some undue attachment to your son, and you know, I think," and they locked up the father and let the son go. It's a true story. He had some kind of panic attack, you know. So there was a method, a reason I mentioned this story, because before we talk about happiness and all of these things, we should have a little ontological, we should have an understanding of terms. We should have a definition so that, you know, if you define things, then we're all speaking on the same, you know, we want to be on the same wavelength. So I wanted to spend just a little bit of an intro so we understand what platform we're on. What is it Socrates said, "Know thyself and to thine own self be true"? So first you have to know yourself. You have to know what's what before you can determine where you're going. Wouldn't that be helpful? Yeah. You jump in the car and turn the keys on. Where are you going? "I don't know, but I'm going to get there fast." Well, better you know where you're going. So who here knows Yudhisthira Maharaj was being tested by his father, incognito, unknown father, Yamaraj? And what, you know the whole story from Mahabharata, to save his brothers, he was asked a series of questions. One of those questions that Yamaraj asked Yudhisthira Maharaj, you know, one of the Mahajans, "What is the most wonderful thing in this world? And it is not Disneyland." We're living in Disneyland, that's another thing. The whole world is. But what is the most wonderful thing in this world? Anyone know? According to Yudhisthira Maharaj? Yes, hand in the back. Yes, Prabhu. All around us, people are dying. And yet we think, "Oh, I won't die, I'll live forever. I'm special." So, but the fact of the matter is, all around us, death is certain. As Srila Prabhupada said, 100%. So, not that we're macabre, but Prabhupada gives the example. You know, of course, no one's here from the West, but, you know, the cow patty, you're drying it on the wall. And when it's dry, it's being thrown into the fire. So the cow patty on the wall is laughing at the cow patty in the fire. "Ha, ha, ha, you're going into the fire." And the last words of the cow patty going into the fire is, "You're next." So it's a fact. Around us, everyone is dying. So isn't that, what do they say, nothing is certain but death and taxes? And if you No, it's true. It's an American saying. So death is certain. So shouldn't that be a factor in the equation? One of our new bhaktas in Los Angeles comes from a very well-to-do family. And he met the devotee. And he saw, you know, the skinny little brahmachari with a little non-matching socks and torn dhoti. Of course, we should be neat and clean. Well, I guess I'll tell it because we've got some time. We took a picture of the Sankirtan party. This is 1970, and sent it to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada spoke very nicely in his letter. He said, you know, your representative Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mission of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is coming to fact. And here you are in the West delivering the holy name. Very appreciative, nice letter. And we thought it was a great picture. And then Prabhupada had written in his own hand at the bottom, I understand that you're renounced, but for my sake, please dress nicely. And we went back and looked at the picture. You know, we had the brahmachari with his shirt inside out and backwards, you know, because we're renounced, you know. But no, we should dress nicely. Because Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, people are superficial. And if they judge everything by the surfaces. And if the cover isn't nice, they won't read the book. You know, that's a Prabhupada's actual statement. So you have to, you know, we have to make tax our brains how to make things attractive. But this devotee, you know, this young man, now a bhakta, dressed, he was a very wealthy family, and he had his Porsche out there, and he had his so-called beautiful girlfriend, and, you know, he had just graduated from a prestigious prep school and been accepted into Stanford. You know, if he just stayed on the conveyor belt, everything was going to work out materially just great for him. And here's this skinny little brahmachari telling him, you know. So he wasn't making much headway. And the brahmachari said to him, and he thought, you know, I have everything. What do I need to hear you? And the brahmachari said, you know, one thing about this world, nobody gets out alive. And it said, the devotee said, it just rattled around his brain, you know, because it was completely true. Everything he's got comes to naught. And my son was talking to my father. My son said, I don't know where, my son is 30 years old, whatever. He said, I don't know what happened to the last year. It went by just like this. My father said, last year? He said, I lost a decade. So time, it's a fact. You will find that the older you get, the faster time goes. I think maybe it's because you're... Anyway, it's a long story. I have my theory why that happens. But the point is that actually this life is very short. And before you know it, we will be lying there. What is it? Shakespeare, sans teeth, sans hair, sans eyes, sans everything, like Hamlet says. We will be there. So, Jan, what is it? Atato brahma jigyasya. Atato means it means now in the human form of life is time to ask questions about Brahman. And this atato means therefore, thereafter. We have not arrived here easily. It has been a great struggle to come to this human form of life. And in this human form of life, should we ask the same questions as the dogs and cats? We should find... I remember there was one smart guy. There were several smart guys, but one smart guy I met in school. He was actually lazy, probably said lazy intelligence. He said, I don't like to fix something, the same thing, so many times. I want to figure out how to fix it once. You know, rather than fixing it, screwing it in, and then jerry-rigging it, why don't you fix the thing, find a systemic system, and solve it once? That's intelligent. So after so many lifetimes, we've come to the human form of life. Shouldn't we make a final, you know, a permanent relief from distress? Now, in the human form of life, it's time to ask questions about Brahman. What is it? We should sort things, sat and asat. What is it? Chanaka Pandit says, you should never give up the permanent for the temporary, you will lose both. You follow? Never give up the temporary. Never give up the permanent for the temporary, you will lose both. This world is constantly changing. So why not find... So human intelligence is actually meant to look at the world, what is permanent and what is temporary. What is sat and what is asat. So the... There's a story. There was a sadhu, Vaishnav, nice sadhu, visiting one village. There was a rich man there, and he was very puffed up. Like we said, Janmaishwari Shruti Sribir, puffed up. But his friend prevailed on him, just come see this sadhu, just see this nice sadhu. So all right, he goes. And the sadhu spoke his nice speaking, and the man thought, you know how they, that he thinks, you know, he talks about surrendering to Krishna, but really they're dependent on me. So I'll give him some cow, I'll give some land, I'll give him something. So he said to the sadhu, he said, Maharaj, let me give you something. I have so much I can, I'm maintaining this whole village, so many Brahmins, let me give you something. And understanding the man's mentality, the sadhu said, yeah, thank you for asking. I do have something you can do for me. He said, I have this needle that I use for sewing up my clothes, and I'm always losing it. He said, can you just keep this needle for me and give it back to me in my next life? You follow? So the rich man began to scratch it. He could understand. He said, well, wait a minute. I can't do that. I can't give him back this needle. Now, a sewing needle, what is the cost in India of a sewing needle? I mean, in America, they don't even sell single needles. You have to buy them in a pack. Isn't it? One is so insignificant. And the man thought, to his credit, that this most insignificant thing, this one little needle, I can't take into my next life. So what is the use of everything else I have? And he had to fold his hands and say, Maharaj, I cannot do it. And he became humble, you know? So we have to be intelligent about these things. Ambarish, Alfred Ford? Some other time I'll tell you the story about how Ambarish became a devotee. He's actually a very, very nice person, and he's a thoughtful person, you know? But his family is incredible. This is off the track. But Ambarish said, I never knew who my friends were because everyone was always trying to flatter me to get something, you know? So I didn't know who was actually my friend. When he went to meet Srila Prabhupada, because he meets politicians and so many, you know, they're all trying to flatter. He thought that Srila Prabhupada might also try to flatter him. When he was introduced, Prabhupada was getting his massage. He was introduced as Ford, Alfred Ford. So Prabhupada said, I know one joke. Prabhupada said there was a man in India who could tell the model of a car by the sound, blindfolded. So they blindfolded the man. First car goes by, boom, boom, boom. Man says, Ambassador. He was right, you know? No. Next car, boom, boom, boom. Fiat. He was right. The next thing to go by was a cobbler's cart, you know, with all pans and, you know, things and the horse and making all kinds of noise. The blindfolded man said, Ford. You don't say this to someone who you want their money, you know, who you're trying to, you know. And Ambarish, he was very impressed. Prabhupada said, yes. I mean, so Ambarish said, yes. He asked Prabhupada, do you know what Ford stands for? Prabhupada said, no. Ambarish said, found on road dead. So this way they bonded, you know. But then Prabhupada said, Ambarish said, you know, Prabhupada, everyone wants my money. Prabhupada said, Krishna wants your money. But Krishna wants your mind. He wants your time. He wants your heart. Krishna wants everything. And Ambarish said he was deeply impressed that the money was incidental. Whatever your money, but give your heart to Krishna. That's what Krishna wants. So anyway, how do we get out? Oh, I was going to say something about Ambarish. So Ambarish was very impressed by, obviously very impressed by Srila Prabhupada. And to his credit. So I was sitting at some fundraising dinner, something with Ambarish. And someone made the point that money can't buy happiness. We've all heard this saying, money can't buy happiness. And Ambarish turned to me, and he said it with such conviction. You know when someone really feels it in their heart. He turned to me and he said, you know, money can't buy happiness. Ambarish said, people who don't have money hope that that is true. You follow? Because if you need money to buy happiness, you're really in a rough spot, right? So he said, people who don't have money hope that that's true. Money can't buy happiness. And then he said, but people who have money know that it's true. And he said it with such conviction, as someone who could do anything materially, and had done so many things, and none of them could make us happy. So our actual position, there was a man out for a stroll in the fields, enjoying the sylvan scene. And as we know in India, and also in America it happens, you have a well, tube well, and sometimes it gets overgrown, it dries up and it's abandoned, you know, and they don't fill it up or board it off, or maybe they board it and the boards have rotted out. So this man, out for a stroll, all of a sudden fell into this blind well. So as he's falling, you can imagine, finally he grabs on its side, and he's like that. And when his eyes adjust, he sees that he's fallen into this well. And he looks down, can he go down? And there's a big poisonous cobra coiled, saying, come on down, you know, come on. So maybe he can go up. He looks up, and there's a tiger looking in, saying, you know, come on up. Little pakora, come on up, you know, come on up. And then the man, he notices he's holding on to two roots. You know, roots are growing out from the side of the thing. So he's holding on, that's what's holding him. And he sees that one of these roots, a white rat is gnawing away at it, and it's just about to go. And in the other one, there's a black rat gnawing on it, and it's just about to go. So just understand the man's precarious position. It's said that the cobra is the life force, prana. And we know that it's going to go. Up above is the three modes of material nature. You know, Durga is writing on that. So Adi Devik, Adi Atmak, Adi Bodhik. So many miseries are there. So the material nature is there just ready to devour us. What he's suspended by, the black rat, white rat, that is the sun, daylight, and night, daytime, nighttime. So time is, you know. One man, they have a saying in America, what are you doing if someone's just sitting around? Oh, I'm just killing time. I heard somebody say that. I said to the guy, I said, no, man. I said, you're not killing time. Time is killing you. It's true. So daytime, nighttime. So this is the man's... All of us ontologically are in this position. Now, over the top of that well, there's a tree. And the tree, there's some honey. And a little bit of honey is dropping like that. So the man in this precarious position, just about to fall with it, you know, can't go up, can't go down, both are devastation. He feels this... And he's a little honey, and he catches a little honey in his mouth. He thinks, oh, not so bad. That's our position in this world, you know. Get a little happy, oh, not so bad. But it is a fool's paradise, you know. The Govinda Das, you know, sings that this, our life, our situation, there's a reason I'm hammering on this. Because if we don't understand our real position, we can't determine what is valuable, what will bring happiness, what is valuable. We have to know what is our situation first. So there's the lotus leaf, a little drop of water on that lotus leaf. And you tilt it this way and that, it can slide this way and that, no problem. We are precariously situated like that. There's that little cough you may have. Please cough the other direction. It may turn out to be pneumonia. That pain in your leg you may have cancer. That is our position. You can go just like that. To give an example, this man, Mr. Prakash, lives in San Diego. South Indian man, very Brahminical family, very nice guy. A little reserved, not so serious. He comes to the temple out of piety, but I've known him for many, many, many years. He was playing tennis, and he had a brain aneurysm, cerebral thrombosis, a blood vessel blew in his brain. Finished, they thought. Took him to the operating table. We're a little afield, but it's a nice story, and true. Just happened, so it's in my mind. Four times they almost lost him on the operating table. And when he came out, he was in a coma. They didn't know, was he going to make it, not make it? You know, I know the family. I felt sorry for the man. We went to visit him in the hospital. And I've seen, you know, in my role as a priest, I've seen many people in the hospital. I've seen people about to die. He had one foot in the grave. I didn't think he was going to make it. You know, we read some Bhagavad Gita, we chanted. Often hearing is the last sense to go. So we were chanting Prakashji, you know, just depend on Krishna. Whatever happens, don't fight, just depend on Krishna. 6 weeks later, we went to visit him regularly. 6 weeks later, his wife calls me. He's come out of the coma. They've taken the tube out. He's completely recovered. But he won't talk to anyone. The only person he'll talk to is you. Me, Bhadranayan Das. I thought, well, that's interesting. So, well, I don't know. I thought maybe he's going to put the temple in his will. I thought, I'll be right over. No, I wasn't thinking that. But I was curious. I walk in, his relatives are sitting there, the doctor is there, some nurses are there. Remember, they told us 4 times we'd almost lost him on the operating table. I walk in, he says, Bhadri, 4 times they came. 4 times they came. One of his relatives says, oh, yes, we had to move him from this room to that room. We moved him 4 times. He said, no, because the man is weak. You know, he couldn't sit up, and it was a struggle to speak, you know, but, you know. He said, no. 4 times they came. So then another one of the relatives says, oh, yes, we came, but we saw him was sleeping, and we came back, and they were feeding. 4 times we came. He said, no. He said, 4 times they came. So I said, you know, trying to be a devotee, I said, oh, you mean the Vishnu Dutas? He said, no, the bad people. So I said, Yama Dutas. And by this time, he's shaking his head. He's very animated, you know. Everyone froze in the town, in the doctor. Everyone's like. So he said, they came to me, the bad people, and they said, we're coming to take you. I said, you do with me whatever you want. I am simply depending on Krishna. And they went away. They came back again and said, we're coming for you, you're coming for you. He said, no. He said, you can take me, you can leave me. But it is not your decision. I am depending on Krishna. So 4 times they came. The 4th time they came, he said, why are you bothering me? I am in the hands of Krishna. Take me or leave me, but it is Krishna's decision. At that point, the Vishnu Dutas, 4 Vishnu Dutas appeared. The Yama Dutas folded their hands and said, oh, we cannot touch him now. And away they went. And Mr. Prakash came out of his coma. So, and he said to me, and like I say, it wasn't very demonstrative. He's a reserved man. I, you know, stepped back from his bed. He was obviously drained, you know, getting up the energy to stay, but very animated. He fell back, and as I was stepping back, he grabbed me by the arm and pulled me back so I could hear him. He said, before, I was not so serious. He said, but now, 100%. So the point I'm trying to make is, first off, we are in a precarious condition. Everything around us is temporary. What is valuable? What matters? I want to take this from another angle also. Prabhupada said that this culture, this society that we live in, this is a scratch-itch society. Now, what does that mean? You get a... Jai, Hari Gopinath. Namo Vishnu Padme Krishna. You get an itch... and you scratch it. So there's some irritation, and then there's some relief, isn't it? Ah. Very nice, very good. Or if it's too hot, the air conditioners in the Juhu rooms have no thermostats. They're either full bore or off. So, you know, we're trying to have a meeting, and after a while, everyone's like, Shivaram Marsh has got his chadar and a hat and a scarf, you know, and we're all, you know. Okay, then we shut the thing off. Oh, I feel so much better. But in due course, you know, a room with a bunch of other people. Oh, man, nobody can think. It's, oh, turn on the AC, and they click on, oh, I feel so much better. So the whole meeting is like that. You're either too cold, and you're getting a little interim, really, oh, it's feeling very nice, oh, it's feeling like this and that. So we have a whole society that is based on that. Is it kama, you know, kama vega, krodha vega, different pushing factors, and if we can relieve them. You know a number line? If you have negative numbers, then zero and the positive. You know what I'm talking about. Simple thing. So we have a society that simply means I'm somewhere in the negative range. I have some irritation, some pushing factor. It may be pride. It may be so many things. Remind me, I want to tell a story about pride. But you just come to zero. If you can come to zero, that's considered a success story. But what about the whole, is there a positive dimension? What about that whole positive range? That they don't even deal with. There's a difficulty and I mediate. You know, I'm lonely, I get married. That doesn't work, I get divorced in America. No, it's true. It's true. So, we had a man. There was a bhakta. He's now initiated, so I won't mention his name. When I was the temple president, we shaved up his head. He had all these scars on his head. I said, what happened to you? I thought maybe he's a, you know, rugby player or, you know. I couldn't figure it out. The guy said, oh, this is where my first wife hit me with an iron. He said, no, no, he goes, he said, this is where my second wife hit me with a golf club. And here was my favorite was, he said, and this is where my fourth wife slammed my head in the car door. I was thinking, how do you slam somebody's head in a car door? I couldn't even figure it out. But his whole marital history was written on his head, you know? So, but there's some irritation. Hare Krishna. There's some irritation, and I get some relief. Some irritation, I get some relief. I'm negative, I come to zero. I'm negative. But is that what human life is meant for? I was flying on temple business one time. It's a long story, but anyway. I was flying from New York City to our temple in Puerto Rico. Now, in the airport in New York City, the big travel posters say, going nuts on this little island. Going nuts in this big city. So much noise, so much confusion, so much harassment, you know. Rush, rush, rush. Go to Puerto Rico. And there's a picture of a beautiful beach and the little waves lapping. And because ultimately we're not impersonal, there's four footprints, you know, two sets. No one wants to be alone. So beautiful. There's a beautiful couple walking into the sunset, tranquil, everything, you know. Get out of New York, go to Puerto Rico. I swear to you, when I landed in Puerto Rico, before I got out of the airport, big picture of the New York skyline. Going nuts on this little island with nothing to do, go to New York where the action is. So I said, well, hang on a minute here, you know. I was in New York. They said, go to Puerto Rico. I'm in Puerto Rico. They told me to go to New York, and I'll be happy. I missed it somewhere. Is that, you know, 30,000 feet over Atlanta? That's where I don't know, because I missed it. I didn't find it, you know. So that's, we are... This is the world that we're trained in. And it gets to the point, actually there's a German word. We have any German speakers here? It's Schadenfreude. Does anyone know this? What this word, Schadenfreude? Something like that. Anyway, we'll get there. But it means that one's happiness is seeing someone else distressed. It's not enough that I succeed, but my enemy has to fail. I have to be able to drive by in my Mercedes and splash mud on them where they're selling beaties on the corner. You know, then it's a full package. So the story is that this man is walking down the beach. Stubs his toe, trips on something, look, and there's a lamp. And, you know, he dusts the lamp off, and a genie comes out. And the genie says, I know two genie jokes. I'll tell the other one in a minute. So they said, the genie, they said, you know, master, what can I do for you? Oh, the genie said, here it goes. The genie said, whatever you wish, I will give you. The man was so excited, he didn't hear the second sentence of the genie. And the genie, you know, the fine print, But whatever I give, your neighbor gets double. He didn't hear that part. So he wishes, I want to have a 4-story mansion. Poof, he's got it. He goes outside to show his neighbor.
I'll see what I've got.
And his neighbor's got a 4-story mansion. So he says, I wish I had a brand new Mercedes. Poof, he's got a brand new Mercedes. Goes off to show his neighbor. His neighbor's got a brand new Rolls Royce. So it goes on like he figures out what's happening. He's completely fried. Finally he says, I wish I was blind in one eye. You follow? His neighbor goes completely blind, both eyes. So even he's blind in one eye. He goes out, he's so happy. He sees his neighbor's going completely blind. So this is not the measure of happiness. And because I promised, and you can, no offense, you can switch the gender on this joke, but because there's so many young men, be forewarned, if you want to buy the model of a car, you talk to someone who owns that model and they'll tell you what it's like. If you, brahmacharis, if you want to know about grihastha life, talk to a serious grihastha devotee and see if he recommends it. Tell if he gives you a thumbs up on that one. So a man is walking down the beach. He stubs his toe. Again, genie comes out. He pauly to the genie. Genie comes out and says, I will fulfill one desire, whatever it is. The genie says, you know, I live in California. My family lives in Hawaii. I've got to fly back. I fly them. I fly. It's so expensive. Can you just build me a bridge so I can drive from California to Hawaii? The genie says, have you lost your mind? You know how much cement that takes, how much steel? I mean, come on, give me a break. Ask for something reasonable. You know? So the guy says, okay. He thinks a minute. He says, tell you what. He says, my wife and I fight all the time. Can you tell me how to keep a woman happy? Genie says, when do you want that bridge by? So, my dear, I'm speaking to the audience. So according to time, place, and circumstance, my dear young men, please consider this. But anyway, hold on. The greatest fear in this world is the fear of death. We have this body. It is the medium for all of our material enjoyment. Therefore, to lose this body is to lose everything. And yet, that greatest fear is mitigated by someone who has Divya Gyan, or transcendental knowledge. We have practical experience. Two devotees were sent. When was the Bangladesh War? 1971? Yeah. Prabhupada had sent Brahmananda Maharaj, and Pusta Krishna was his secretary, his servant, Brahmachari servant, had sent them. Because, you know, there's many Vaishnavas in East Bengal. And, you know, so many holy tirthas are there. And, you know, it's actually a very good preaching field. But, you know, it's a dangerous place on one hand. So sent them there. They're in, of course, at that time it was East Pakistan. Bangladesh wars breaks out. And in East Pakistan, they're killing Hindus. They're just butchering. I mean, these things happen. Hindus butcher, Muslim, but you know, everyone's, Christians shoot every, you know, these things are going on. Everyone's fighting everybody. But they're killing, the Muslim soldiers are killing Hindus. Prabhupada got a message, leave immediately. They're on a bus coming towards, because Mayapur is close to the Pakistan, East Pakistan, now Bangladesh border. You know, all the Hindus, you know, are trying to grow a beard and, you know, they're trying to really cover themselves up as fast as possible, you know. On this bus, you have all the either Muslims, Hindus hiding as Muslims, and in one of the seats, you have Vaishnav sannyasis. You know, saffron, shaved head, sika, tilak, danda. I mean, how many things are wrong in this picture, you know, given the, you know. They pulled the devotees, they stopped them near the border. You know, Pakistani soldiers pulled the devotees off, Brahmananda and Pushta Krishna, set up the machine gun, pulled it back, and aimed. And Brahmananda turned to Pushta Krishna and said, "Prabhu, put your hand in your bead bag. We're going back to Godhead." And they posed, just like you would pose. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And they were so fearless, to the credit of the Muslim soldiers, they were unnerved. And the chief officers could understand, these are saintly people. They said, "No, get back on the bus," and they let the devotees go. You know, it's a true story. When Prabhupada left this world, Srila Prabhupada had stopped eating. He was like Bhishma Dev on the bed of arrows. Prabhupada had stopped eating. Now, one of the devotees, a friend of mine in America, he's Indian born, called his father, Dr. Karana, and he asked his father, "Go see Srila Prabhupada." Prabhupada had stayed at Dr. Karana's in Delhi. Dr. Karana had stayed at his house, and he was a very nice man, you know, life member, and a very good man. So he called together a group of, in those days, everybody had black ambassadors or whatever, you know, so he got a little four or five doctors, different specialties. They all drove, because they, you know, it's a short drive, they drove down to Vrindavan. When they came to see Srila Prabhupada, Dr. Karana told me this personally. He said that Prabhupada had not eaten anything for days. There was no fatty tissue. The skin would have been pushing, was pushing right on the bones and the nerves, you know. They said an ordinary man would have been writhing in pain. Prabhupada was taking a little massage. When they came in, Dr. Karana came in with these other doctors. Srila Prabhupada's response was, "Oh, Dr. Karana." First thing Prabhupada did was apologize for not being able to get up and greet him. Then Prabhupada said, "You've come from such a long distance. You must be tired. You must be hungry. Take a bath, take a shower, have something to eat. I'm not going anywhere. Come back and see me." You know? And Dr. Karana was so moved. He's used to going into people in this condition and they're crying, they're begging the doctor for 5 minutes more or this or that, give me the morphine drip, whatever. And here was Srila Prabhupada, completely conscious, completely a gentleman, totally detached from his position and asking how Dr. Karana was feeling. Dr. Karana began to cry. He could not believe it. Prabhupada explained, Dr. Karana, when he could finally speak, said, "How are you thinking?" Prabhupada gave the example that you have a coconut, you know, coconut husk, and when it becomes ripe, the pulp will separate, and you can shake, you can hear it inside. The coconut and the pulp are completely separate. Prabhupada said, for someone who's a devotee, we have this body, but our consciousness is completely different, completely inside. And we know that Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was sick, you know, coming to this point, the devotees in Brooklyn, in Manhattan, when Prabhupada was coming down in the elevator to leave, to fly, you know, he was going on another part, leg of his world tour, the devotees, GBCs, senior sannyasis, were crying, "Prabhupada, please, just go to Gita Nagari, our farm nearby. Just stay, rest for 1 month. All we ask, we'll take care of everything, 1 month." And when the doors opened, the devotees are chanting, Prabhupada turned, he put his cane down. He said, "I want the benediction to fight like Arjuna until my last breath." And sure enough, you see those pictures, literally on his disappearance bed, till his last breath, Prabhupada is translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And you read that section, Brahma Mohan Lila, perfect lucidity. Prabhupada is giving deep, profound purports in a condition when an ordinary man would be crying and writhing in pain. So if we become Krishna conscious, we're completely, what is it, the fangs of death, like a serpent, the teeth are broken. So this is one of the gifts that one gets if one becomes Krishna conscious. Prabhupada saw a child at the zoo one time. And the child was holding onto the father's hand. Picture a small boy. The lion cage is there. Actually, in America, they've got these open zoos. Do you have open zoos now? The San Diego Zoo has one of the biggest zoos in the world, one of the best zoos. And they have these no-barrier zoos. So one guy was leaning over to look at the tigers, making fun of the tigers. He fell in and they ate him. It's a dangerous world. But this young boy is holding on to his father's hand. The lion is roaring. And the little boy, he's roaring back. You may have seen he's roaring back like that. Because he's thinking, I have my father. So he's feeling fearless. I have my father. Prabhupada said in the same way, that he saw this, I don't know if they have here Allstate Insurance. They had an insurance company. And the picture were these hands like this. And you were coupled. You were cushioned or protected. You saw the house and the family. And, of course, in America, the faithful dog Fido is there. So it's true. Man's best friend. Nobody ever lived on dog milk, but that's another story, you know? So you've got the hand there. So Prabhupada saw this. Prabhupada saw it. He said, Yokeshvam vahamyaham. You know, Krishna, you know, I preserve what you have. I bring to you what you lack. So Prabhupada said, this is a Vaishnava. Prabhupada, I was sitting in the room. Prabhupada was speaking. Prabhupada said, you think you're sitting on the floor? I am sitting on the hand of Krishna. So a Vaishnava, he feels fearless. One of my sweetest recollections of Srila Prabhupada, Los Angeles Temple. Anyone who's been to L.A., they have Prabhupada's quarters are up above there. And there's two windows here. And it was a foggy, kind of cold day. We actually have a few of those in California every now and then. So cold day. No, it's cool. Thank you. Cold day, foggy. We're all, as they say in Australia, rugged up, and everyone's got, you know, a chatter and this and that. For one moment, clouds parted, sun came out, and you've seen this in a room sometimes, a shaft of golden light came through, you know? All of us were still in the shadows, somehow or other way it was arranged, and this ray of golden sun came right down on Srila Prabhupada. So he was bathed in this shaft of golden warm light. It was such a beautiful scene, you know, it was... We picked up on it. Prabhupada, of course, picked up on it. He said, yes. Because Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. He said, yes, someday you will feel this sun just like your lover's embrace. So imagine that. Feeling the sun just like your lover's embrace. Krishna says, I'm the pure taste of water. I'm the original fragrance of the earth. I'm ability in man. People would say to Prabhupada, show me God. Prabhupada, of course, sometimes he would answer, well, what is your qualification? You know, I can, you know. But Prabhupada said, that is not the right question. He said, my question to you, sir, is why can't you see God? God is everywhere. We're seeing God. Why are you such a fool that you can't see God? Yeah, it's a different way of answering. Like the owl. The owl shuts its eyes and then blames the sun. Why aren't you shining? Well, or Prabhupada tells a joke that the man is, he's deaf. He's calling his wife, come here, come here. She's answering, I'm coming. But he can't hear it, so he tells his friend, she must be going deaf, she never answers. You know? So a blind man thinks everyone else is blind. But for the Vaishnava, he's seeing Krishna at every step. Otherwise, how would we live in this world if we weren't feeling Krishna's presence? So the point I'm trying to make is that like I gave the example of a number line, right? Let's do this. What is your name, Prabhu? Prem Sindhu Das. Prem Sindhu Das. So Prem Sindhu Prabhu. Suppose you picked me up in Chaupati. And on the way over here, I gave you $100. I think, hey, GBC's not so bad. I'll volunteer for this service more often, you know. So you're here, you're parking the car, this or that, we're meeting. You come in a half hour later. You say to you, what's your name? So Ganesham. You say, Ganesham, this Badri Narayan, he gave me $100. You say, gee, that's funny. He gave everybody else $1,000. Then how do you feel? When you had the 100, you were thinking, hey, fantastic. When you find that everybody else got 1,000, how do you feel? You go, hey, I got cheated, I got jipped, what happened, you know? That rascal, that guy is such a rat, why did, you know? So we can get, Dhruva Maharaj says, we're praying for things in this world, but it's just broken glass. The real jewel is Krishna Prem. So the question is, what money can't buy? It cannot buy spiritual happiness, the real thing. The another thing that money cannot buy. Oh, so I was saying like the number line? Negative come to zero? What is it? Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, na sojate na kanchate? Krishna says in the Gita, the devotees, no hankering, no lamenting, free from all fear. What does it Krishna say? Sarva Dhamma Prajaja, one of the last is na sucha. Don't fear, don't hesitate, don't be in anxiety. All of this disappears. I saw Prabhupada read a man's palm. You know? We're not into these things. You know? Prabhupada says in one place, astrology is for lazy and misfortunate men. I mean, to chant, you know, to plan what today to do a festival, that's another thing, you know? But to chart my life, oh, I'm in a Rahu period, so I can't follow the regular principles. Sorry, Prabhu. We don't accept that, you know? So this man asked Srila Prabhupada. He said, can you read my palm? And Prabhupada explained that we don't do that. We simply depend on Krishna, you know? And Prabhupada, of course, gave a beautiful, profound explanation. At the end of the thing, the man said, yes, 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 sir, yeah, but can you read my palm? So Prabhupada said, give me your hand. It's pretty far out. Prabhupada turned on his desk lamp, took the man's hand. You know how they do? You know, because Prabhupada was an expert at theatrics. Prabhupada was an expert at everything. So, we were all thinking, hey, we're going to queue up next. Maybe Prabhupada will read my palm, you know? So Prabhupada looked, and then Prabhupada said, all bad. He said, birth, death, disease, and old age. And Prabhupada was so heavy, I thought the man was going to have a heart attack. And then Prabhupada, the mood changed, just like Prabhupada said, but you clap your hands at kirtan, all the lines go away. So, our simple point is this. You have the negative number. You have this scratch-itch society that let me just come to zero. I have different pushing factors, different vega, kama, veda, krodha, vega, so are pushing. And if I can somehow or other come to zero, then I call that happiness. At the whole time, I've got the underlying angst of adibhautik, adidaivik, adiatmik, miseries caused by so many different factors. And ultimately, at any minute, I could drop dead, and in due course, I will drop dead. What about that whole positive range? And that is what opens up by the practice of Krishna Bhakti. I remember one of the first things I heard was that Hare Krishna album by Srila Prabhupada, and he gives a translation, Govinda, and he gives it, you know. And Prabhupada says, I'm paraphrasing now, but the practitioners of Krishna consciousness or whatever it is, they have no desires to fulfill. They have no desires to fulfill. Then Prabhupada says, is still they have variegated transcendental desires to serve, to satisfy their Lord in loving service. I remember, you know, I had a friend who was a Buddhist. I studied Buddhism for some time. And I remember thinking that the desire to be desireless is a self-centered desire. Or so where does it, you know, it's a endless regress. How do you get out of the thing, you know? Anybody have a charter? I need a charter. Just for example, I'll give it back, don't worry. He thinks he's getting $100 now. He's going to get his chart. I actually saw one of these big impersonalists in my day. He was a big impersonalist. You know this Sri Chinmoya? No, not Sri Chinmoya. Krishnamurti. He was a big guy in my days in California. He says, one who knows doesn't speak. One who speaks doesn't know. No, because you're full of knowledge. Like a water pot, when it's full, it makes no. I saw some man try to pull this on Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, well, don't you believe that everyone should practice their philosophies? Oh, yes, whatever you believe you should practice. Prabhupada said, very good. Your policy is, our policy, your policy is to be quiet, to not, you know, one who knows doesn't speak. Our policy is that real speaking begins when you speak about Krishna. So for us, speaking, on one hand, we only speak about Krishna. He said, so that's our philosophy. Your philosophy is one who knows does shouldn't speak. Prabhupada said, very good. You be quiet, I'll speak. It's pretty blissful, you know. So, same guy who said that. You take this charter, okay? You make a circle. Now, there is an inside and there's an outside, isn't it? So there's a separation, there's a duality. So each of you are thinking you're an individual. You remove this ahankara, this false ego conception, remove the chatter, it is all one. Prabhupada says, are we water pots? Are we chatters? You know, what caused the one to become many? There's so many ways you defeat this. So this idea... Oh, sorry. The simple point of to come to the point of nirvisesha or sunyavadi, but we understand there's a whole positive dimension of serving the Lord in transcendental loving service. I saw Srila Prabhupada, you know, Daruka in the Krishna book, it's described that he would have, he's fanning Krishna, and he would have ecstatic symptoms. You know, you shake, or, you know, herpalation, so, and he would curse these symptoms. And people say, oh, I'm going to Vrindavan. I want to know what my Siddhadeya is. I want to, you know, is Krishna hiding? Prabhupada said, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you will not find Krishna hiding in the bushes in Vrindavan. Oh, I want to, you know, oh, so this man can take me to Madhurya Ras. Where is he? You know, I just, you know. We hear all these things, you know. Daruka cursed those ecstatic symptoms because he wanted to do his service for Krishna. I personally saw Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was giving class every morning in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada would come, greet the deities, and then sit on his Vyasasan. At the time, he was teaching us the verses from Sri Yashopanishad. Instead of Bhagavatam class, Sri Yashopanishad had just come out. So he was teaching us Sri Yashopanishad. And we were used to the sequence. Prabhupada would greet the deities, we would follow, Prabhupada would take Charanamrita, then Prabhupada would sit down, we would offer dandavats. And while we were bowing down, we would hear Prabhupada's oceanic voice, you know, that Om Pranamadapur, come rolling out. You know, it was just so blissful. This particular morning, no sound. We looked up, and Prabhupada was looking at the deities, and tears were flowing down his cheeks, just flowing. And, you know, if you'd stuck your hand to that glance between Prabhupada and the deity, would it, like a laser, would it just burned it right off? You know, Prabhupada's glance was looking at the deities. But what Prabhupada did, you physically saw him raise up and then just push down the whole thing. It was getting in the way of his service to his Guru Maharaj, to train his disciples, to spread the Sangha. This was just a disturbance. He just pushed it out of the way. I personally saw this. I saw Prabhupada go into an ecstatic trance in Mayapur. Prabhupada, God brothers, they were here. Prabhupada again became stunned on the Vyasasan, looking at Radha Madhava, couldn't speak. Finally, the devotees broke into kirtan. Prabhupada came out and began to speak. Prabhupada, talk about humility. Up in the room, the devotees asked Prabhupada, what should we do when that happens? Prabhupada's response, I don't do it very often. And Prabhupada was like embarrassed that somehow or other his ecstasy had bubbled out, you know? But the ecstasy of serving Krishna. They did a survey in America. What makes happiness? Because that's the theme here. You'd think they would have studied that somewhere along the line, but and it was MIT, and also University of Michigan, which was one that has one of the best sociology schools and, you know, cultural studies in America and in the world. They did a study. They found out that after people get the bare maintenance, they get a house, they get some money to put their kids through college, they got a car that's not going to blow up on them. Okay, fine. You know, after they get that, because they were trying to find what incentives, you know, what incentives will inspire people? Bigger office, bigger pay, bigger. Those are all factors. But they found that the factors that inspired people in a workplace, you know, a happy, made a best workplace, was that they felt that they were doing something bigger than themselves. Something, you know, they felt that they were doing something that mattered, and they felt that they were doing something that was doing good for others. Something that mattered, something that was doing good for others, and something that was bigger than their own little Kanista world, my little house, my car, Kijai. You know? Now think about it. We're here. We have a chance to engage in the Sankirtan movement. We can actually... I one time worked as a volunteer at a teenage suicide crisis line before I became a devotee. They thought teenagers, peers, you know, peers speaking to peers, they'll do better, you know? And they gave you a little script to read. You know, you say this, you say that, you know, you walk your way through it. Because originally they set up the suicide line, and they had enough money for the phones, but they didn't have enough phone for operators, so you'd call in to reach out for humankind one last time, and you get put on hold. So they figured they better staff the thing, so volunteer staff. And it was so cramped that sometimes you'd get adults, you know, you wouldn't just get kids, you'd get a... So I was probably 17 at the time. I get a phone call. It's this man. He's going to commit suicide. And they tried it. They say that suicide is a temporary solution, a permanent solution to a temporary problem. You follow? Permanent solution. Because the problem's going to, you'll get around it, you know. But if you kill yourself, that's it. That's the end of the game. So one of the first things you say, I said to this man, was, well, you know, you've always got tomorrow. You've got, you know, today may look dark, but what about tomorrow? He said, no, it all looks bleak. And I said, well, you've got your job. You've got your career. No, I was fired. Well, you've got your family. No, my wife divorced me. Well, you've got your kids. Well, they all hate me and moved out. You know. And I went down the line. You've got your dog. My dog ran away. You know. I mean, literally. I went down the list. And there was nothing I could say to this guy. I said, where are you? I'll give you a push. You know, that's what I was thinking. You know, I didn't say that, you know. But I actually thought, I can't give this man anything. And if I revive him, you know, in a boxing ring, you know, because I don't know, they box, they must have boxing here in it, you know? I don't know. Boxing ring, right? And suppose the guy's up against the 2-ton bruiser, you know? But if he goes 15 rounds, he gets the prize. They have fights like this. If you just survive, you know? And every more rounds you survive, the more money you get. So I'm his coach, right? I send the guy out the ring, he's just getting pulverized. I can't even look, you know? Ding, he comes back, and I ice him up, say, you're doing great, killer. Go back and get him. Oh, I can't even look, you know? And you watch the guy round after round just getting pulverized, just butchered, you know? I'm sorry, Mother Teresa, but if you revive somebody and send them back out into the material world and they're just going to get pulverized, oh, jeez, adi bautic, adi dietic, adi atmic, you know? Boom, boom, boom. That's not solving the problem. You got to get the man out of the ring. You got to give him healthy life. So our simple point is that most of you here are young men. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to spend your time another scratch itch society simply solving coming to zero? Oh, now my life is good. When it's proven, independent of the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, that which actually makes one happy is doing something outside of yourself that's good for others, that has value. If you help the Sankirtan movement, I'm not saying don't get married, I'm not saying any of that stuff, but if the focus of your life is how can I spread the Sankirtan movement, how can I give the message to Krishna to others? We had a man not so long ago, was going to commit suicide. The Sankirtan devotee didn't know it. He thought, you know, what is the use of this world? It's all empty. There's no real love. There's no truth. If one's thoughtful, they have a saying, you know, if you're not paranoid, you haven't been paying attention. You know, if you look out at this world and you think everything is great, you're not paying attention. So this person was feeling, you know, an existential angst that what is the meaning of life? And he concluded, I might as well commit suicide because everyone says I'm crazy. You know, what's the, you know? My parents took me to a psychiatrist when I became a devotee. The guy's recommendation was take up golf, get a fish tank and a girlfriend that, you know, to fill your life. I thought, this man is crazy. So the simple point, and we'll end here. This person was going to commit suicide. He was in the van. He had a van. He had the hose coming from the van filling up the van with exhaust, carbon monoxide. He was in the process of killing himself. All the windows rolled up. Sankirtan devotee, you know, Krishna's directing the wanderings of all living entities, knocked on the window. Hey, roll it down. You know, he said, the guy said, hey, you know, can't you say I'm busy here? You know, run on, you know. The devotee, inspired by Krishna, just slipped the little book. It was a path to perfection. You know, put it between the, because the guy wouldn't roll down the windows or talk to him. So the devotee just slipped it on the windshield, you know, like that. The guy, get off my car, like that. But he couldn't, you know. Devotee went on. He thought the person trying to commit suicide, well, I might as well read something while I'm going. Rolled down the window, took the book inside, rolled it back up, and started reading. And literally, he said, at every page, it hit him. You know, like the donging of the for whom the bell tolls. Boom, boom. Every single page made sense to him. And by the time he got to the 10th page, he thought, I'm not crazy. He said, this world is crazy. You know? No, it's true. It's true. He rolled down the window, he drove to the temple and moved in as a new devotee. So, and I could, we don't have time because we should end here, but I could tell you so many stories of how book distribution has literally saved people's lives. So, Prabhupada's statement when he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, instead of reviving people to go back into the fight and being pulverized, instead of simply serving a scratch-itch society or scratching that itch ourselves, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was met by his Guru Maharaj and told, go to the West, spread the Krishna consciousness movement. It's good for you and good for others. If you take up, first off, you have to save yourself first, but become strong devotees. Give Krishna to others. It will be good for you. It will be good for others. It is the best way to become happy in this world. Someone said one time, you take up the work of a devotee. One man was listening to one of our lectures, by one of the devotees giving the Sunday feast talk. He knew the devotee. He said, you know, you don't have retirement pay. You don't have, you know, vacation pay. And he said, but you Hare Krishnas, you got a great great retirement plan. You know, we go back home, back to Godhead. So give this one life for Krishna. That's all we're saying. It's good for you, good for others. It will make you the happiest in this life. It'll create happiness for others, and you will go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
His Grace Badrinarayan Prabhu Ki.
Jai!
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for that brilliant presentation. And I hope all of you enjoyed thoroughly. And we have some special guests this evening. We have with us Mr. Amardev, Mr. Anirban, and Neeta Ji. And they are from the media, TV and production house. In fact, yesterday I met Mr. Amardev for the first time. And interestingly, he was the head of the Channel V before. And he is now, along with his colleague Anirban, they are having their own freelance production for television serials. And they met our devotees, Damodar Dulal Prabhu and others. And they visited the Vada farm and they came to the Juhu temple. And they are really inspired to start a whole series of 52 episodes on the glories of Krishna Prasadam. So they are going to be doing a TV show on devotees cooking. That's and they visited the kitchen also this evening. And they are interested in, you know, portraying how Krishna Prasadam is going to be so beneficial. The consciousness in which the devotees cook and how they offer and things like that.
Can I tell you a quick story about Krishna? It's quick. Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you know, because prasadam we offer to Krishna first, right? And Krishna tastes it, then we take it from Krishna. So Prabhupada said, if you eat off a diseased man's plate, you'll catch his disease, isn't it? So, and every disease has symptoms. Maybe you get a headache or upset stomach or whatever, you know. So Prabhupada said, if you eat off Krishna's plate, you get Krishna's disease. And Krishna's disease has symptoms. What are those symptoms? Satchit Ananda. And then Prabhupada said, if you get Krishna's disease, there's no cure.
And this reminds me that you could also tell your story about Dan in the radio show, Krishna Prasadam, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, after that will be my first question when the question answer session begins. So we are very happy that you joined us this evening. Let us welcome them by loudly chanting. Also, the next Prerna festival, which was scheduled for November 11th with His Holiness Niranjan Maharaj. So I think he's a little busy and he may not be in town. So 6th and 7th he's doing programs at temple for the regular like congregation programs. So you're cordially invited to attend those. And on, when is the Govardhan Puja? Yeah, on the 7th, His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj will be present for the Govardhan festival, for which all of you are cordially invited. The next Prerna festival, as Padrunayan Prabhu mentioned, the theme of book distribution. So from December 1st, we are starting the Prabhupada book marathon. So on the November 27th, which is a Sunday, we are going to have a complete Prerna dedicated for distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. And the IYS has a good quota for distributing a large chunk of those books. And His Grace Baladev Prabhu will be facilitating that Prerna festival. There is going to be a talk and experiences shared by devotees and skits on book distribution. So please be there on the 27th of November for the next Prerna festival, which is a Saturday. And is it 27th or 26th? 27th. And the speaker will be His Grace Baladev Prabhu. So on behalf of ISKCON Chowpatty, we would like to give a gift of some of our like Vada products and some of our wonderful kirtans which have been sung by the devotees here. So we hope and pray that Badrinayan Prabhu makes Chowpatty his regular stopover during his India tour. And I would now begin the question answer session by asking him this first question about his experience with Dan.
I hope this is the one you're thinking of. This is the man whose show was famous for harassing people. Anyway, no, that's the Ras, you know, that if you can push someone down and you come up, then you're very happy. So they had some, there was a guy, Ted Patrick, was a deprogrammer guy. In those days, you know, they, like I say, if you were dressed as dhoti, tilak, shaved head, sika, they thought you'd lost your mind. It was not, if you, in America, I never saw a mango till I joined the Hare Krishna movement. It's true. Now you can get mangoes anywhere in America, but it, you know, you have to understand, if you said you were a vegetarian, they said, libertarian? That's a political party? No, I'm serious. I remember selling books. We had a book, it was called Perfection of Yoga. You'd give it to these people, they'd say, yogurt? Hell, man, I don't eat yogurt. You say, no. Back up and try it again, you know? So you have to get a flavor of the culture, you know? I mean, everyone was, I mean, if you weren't a Christian, you know, they just couldn't figure you out. It was like, what? What happened to you? You know, are you from Mars or something, you know? So, and if you became, they had this guy, deprogrammer, you know, and he would capture devotees and try to, you know, brainwash them and so many things. Even our, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj? You can ask him sometime the story about he was captured. He was kidnapped twice. We saved him twice. No, it's a whole story. Anyway, so this man was on first, and we called in, you know, we called in and called the guy on a couple things, you know, and they liked the, there was some, you know, We got him a couple times. So they thought, well, we'll invite these people on and we'll slap them around. So they invited the Hare Krishnas. So I was thinking, should I go, shouldn't I go, shouldn't I? And the devotees said, you know, you should go. You'll get to say something about Krishna and you should go, you know. Even they hear Krishna, 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 you know, all right, you'll go. So it's all right, my lucky day. So I went to see this guy. And the thing is, the first thing that happened was we made a big plate of nice Mahaprasadam, all cookies and sandesh and, you know, nice sweets. And you're in this little sound booth. And he's on one side, I'm on the other. The mic is like this. They put this big plate of prasadam there. And I thought, well, anyway, I'll say that second. Whoever the producer of the show is came to move because it was kind of in the way of everything. And the guy, Dan, said, no, leave that here. So I said, well, that's a good sign. The guy's got some attraction to prasadam. That may bode well, you know. And so the thing started. And the man was super respectful and super nice. And even somebody called in, and there's many good Christians. We can learn things from the Christians. We not, you know, there's, you know, such as their tolerance, their compassion. There's many things we can learn from the Christians, no doubt. Pandita Samadarshana, that, you know, the golden rule, do good unto others, you know, as you know, there's so many things you can learn from them. Anyway, this one Christian called in and said, you know, you're this and that, and you're worshiping Satan and this and that, you know. The guy said, as far as I'm concerned, the last Christian was 2,000 years ago, and you nailed him on the cross. Click. You know? So I thought, hey, way to go, you know? So then, at the end of that, at one point in the time, oh, this is what he told me. So there was a break, you know? And this had been going on for about 15 minutes, and I was thinking, you know, when is the shoe, as they say in America, are the shoe going to fall, or when is he going to show his real face, or, you know, this is a setup, when's the sucker punch coming, you know? So I said to him, I said, look, you know, what's going on here, you know? I said, this is the nicest show I've ever been on, and I said, you know, you were a tiger, now you're a pussycat, what happened here? So he said to me, he said, I went to the University of Florida in Gainesville. He said, I was a student with no money. He said, you guys fed me every lunch for 4 years. He said, my mother taught me, don't bite the hand that feeds you. He said, this is, mic is yours. You say whatever you want. So is that the one you were thinking of? Yeah, it was very blissful. He's a nice guy. So you have some questions? I mean, because we should end shortly, but we take a couple questions. Yes, Prabhu. Silly.
Huh? I'm doing PhD in biology. And by coincidence, I came across with Prabhu book, Life from Life.
Life from life.
And the thing is that as I'm reading that book, and each time Prabhu says that, the scientists are rascal. Now,
and it's a... So you're feeling a little pinch, huh?
So it's a. Sometimes I feel a little pinch, but sometimes I get excited with that. That within a few months I will be submitting my thesis and synopsis, and I'm wondering that one rascal will be giving a degree to another rascal. One rascal giving a degree to another rascal.
So you can, Prabhupada calls it the dog hog glorifying society. One dog is barking and the other dog is saying, oh, you're barking very nicely.
That's what I felt to say you, that how to solve this problem. That...
No, I'll give you an example. One of the first questions I asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was cutting some fruit. And this happens quite often. You listen, you know, you can't quite form the question right, but Prabhupada would be able to understand where you're going with it, you know? So I asked Srila Prabhupada, what is material and what is spiritual? And I was thinking, even like you have in Vedic tradition, the sages go off to the Himalayas. In Western Christian tradition, you have the Gnostics who say this world is profane, and they go off to caves, or, you know, they take great austerities, that this world is foul, like that, you know? And then other people say, God has made this world for us to enjoy. I mean, God has given us these senses, and you're denying the gifts of God, you ungrateful rascal, you know? So you hear to enjoy, not enjoy, you hear so many things. So this is what was in my mind. And I asked Srila Prabhupada, what is material, what is spiritual? And he took the knife, he was cutting some fruit. He said, is this knife material or spiritual? I was very shy in those days. I wished I'd never said a thing, you know. But Prabhupada said, the knife in the hand of a physician can save your life. And a knife in the hand of a robber can take your life. So the knife itself is neutral. It depends on the purpose and consciousness for which it is used. Similarly, this material nature, it depends on what you use it for. We opened a temple in a mortuary, you know, where they, in India, their culture, they burn the body. In America, they try to keep it going, you know, they embalm it, you know? It's a whole thing. I was at a funeral, the guy was embalmed. They said, how does he look? I was saying, he looks dead. That's how he looks. He doesn't look good, you know? He looks dead. But my point is that we opened a temple in a mortuary. They said it was on sale. It's a true story. Our Boston temple, our first Boston temple on Beacon Street, it was on sale because it was ghostly haunted and no one would buy it. Prabhupada said, buy it, have kirtan, they'll all go away. We got a great deal. It was our temple. So you could, PhD Prabhupada joke means piled higher and deeper, you know? But it depends on what you use your PhD for. If you use your PhD to somehow or other prove that Krishna's God or the material, I'll tell you a great, when it was so many things we could talk about, but the field of consciousness. There's so many ways that matter must be being dictated to. So this, you can use, get a PhD. Get a double PhD, but use it for Krishna. Otherwise, it's described in the Bhagavatam that a jewel's around the neck, you know, or a big jewel on the turban, but if the man is in the ocean with a big jewel on the turban, he simply sinks to the bottom. And when the Titanic, you know, the unsinkable Titanic, which the material nature was more than willing to accept the challenge, you know, sank on its maiden voyage. I don't remember, she was one of the Astor families, I forget which one of the richest families in America. She was getting from the ladder into the rowboat, but she had all of her jewelry on her, and she was so attached, she wouldn't leave her jewelry. She slipped, fell into the water, sank right to the bottom. So your PhD, if you don't use it for Krishna, it will simply make you puffed up and take you further to hell, or hellish mental life. But if you use it for Krishna, fine. Do it. Prabhupada said, be bold like a lion. You know, bold from the be like a lion, bold from the beginning of an endeavor. Use it, but use it for Krishna. Is that all right? Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. In the red shirt? I think it's... Oh, the white shirt? Yeah. I don't have my glasses on, so... Yeah, go ahead, Prabhu. And me to you. They say in America, same to you, but more of it. Yes.
So many things what money can't buy, actually. Can you elaborate on that?
Money cannot buy Krishna Prem.
Yeah, money cannot also buy a new life. Money cannot buy a time.
Yeah, but let's stick on this. On one hand, you can purchase so many things. But you, just like Damodar Month, you cannot capture Krishna. And yet, there is, Prabhupada calls it the law of reciprocity. Yeyatam mam prapadyante. That as you surrender, you can get Krishna. And even more than that, Prabhupada said that, you know, what is it if I invest in something? There was this guy in America, Madoff, maybe you heard of him? The guy who made off with everybody's money? You know, the investment scheme? So suppose I tell you, you give me, you know, one, you know, lakh rupees, and I'll give you back at 30%. Wow. When you say if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't, you know? So, but imagine this. Prabhupada said if you take, imagine the exchange rate, the return rate of this investment. Prabhupada said you take one step to Krishna, Krishna will take 10 to you. So, I also saw your beautiful deities, Gopinath, right? Radha Gopinath, how he's leaning. The devotees, the deities in Detroit, Radhakunja Bihari, they're also leaning. Krishna looks like he's going to put his head on Radharani's shoulder, you know. Prabhupada said, ah, bhakta vatsal. This is Krishna leaning towards his devotees. So just beautiful Gopinath is giving us the hint. As you surrender to Krishna, Krishna's just waiting. His devotees are leaning towards him. So you cannot buy Krishna prema. You cannot buy Krishna. But actually, on the spiritual level, you can. And anyone know what the currency is? Trinada pisu ni chena. That way you can purchase Krishna. So we have another question.
Oh, I did tell it. That was the blind guy. I told it.
Yes, somebody had a question over there. Yes, Prabhu. Convince our
peers.
Oh, peers.
And the people in our office about a particular thing that money can't buy happiness or Krishna.
Yes. You know, the thing is that every living entity has their free will. Did I mention that radio show when the man said, you know, what will happen if everyone surrenders, if everyone becomes Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, don't worry, there'll always be fools like you who won't. You know? So, we cannot expect. One time in my devotional life, I became, well, not one time, I mean, let's be honest, I became a little discouraged, momentarily discouraged. My father, who wanted me to become, inherit his kingdom and go on in life, sensed it, swooped in like a bird of prey, sensing a weakness, and said, don't you ever become discouraged as a devotee. I said, sure, I become discouraged sometimes. I said, if you want to become a medical doctor, and remind you, now you can remember the joke about a specialist, Prabhupada's joke. If I want to become a medical doctor, first you have to get great grades. I don't know how it works here, we call it high school, you know, but whatever it is. You have to really work hard and get good grades. Because at least in America, to get in a medical school, it's like one out of 200, 300 that get, at least, that have the qualification to get into medical school. Whew, made it to medical school. No way, my friend. That is just you've got to take all the undergraduate stuff. You've got to take all the science. Then you've got to actually take the medical courses. Then you've got to work as an intern. And you talk to people who've become doctors. Each step becomes harder, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you talk to them in their intern. They make them work 32 hours without sleep. It is tough. So to get something valuable took a lot of effort. You've seen those, you know, concert pianists? I had a friend when I was a kid. We were all out playing football. Soccer or whatever you guys were wasting your time with. Same thing, you know. So I was out there, and my friend, he was practicing piano. Da 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 da. You know, they play scale. All we were having a great time. He was playing scales. You know, he had to sacrifice so much, but he became a famous concert pianist. So. Even a material thing, to get a material thing, requires so much austerity, so much effort. So to get the most valuable thing, it's the jet lag, I got a cramp in my leg here. But to get the most valuable thing in this world, you don't think to get Krishna requires some difficulty, requires some tapasya, doesn't take some effort? Should Krishna be, everything else is difficult. Oh, it's okay now. Something else, to get Krishna should be cheap? What do you think? Does that make sense to you? Prabhupada's joke. A man is riding on a train in India. Coal-burning train. He gets a cinder in his eye. Oh, jeez. It's very painful. So he asks his friends, you know, please help me. The friends go through all the different compartments looking for a doctor. They can't find. Finally, they come to one compartment. The whole compartment, they're all doctors going to a medical convention. Fantastic. But this one is a cardiologist. This one is whatever they are. You know, so many different things. Finally, he finds an ophthalmologist, an eye doctor. So he takes his guy up. He looks, the eye doctor looks and says, it's in the left eye. I'm a right eye specialist. That's Prabhupada's joke. That's Prabhupada's joke. So the point is, even to become specialized, even to get your PhD, you know, in one small band of mundane wisdom, so much austerity is there. And we're going to get the Ahamsavasya Prabhu, Matasavam Pavartate, everything emanates from Krishna. That you're going to get cheaply. That you're going to get without difficulty. That you're going to get without austerity. No way. Show me the logic of that. So the fact that it's difficult sometimes, the fact that you, frankly, the better the thing is, the harder the price you have to pay. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it got it off my chest. You know, I think this is a sign from Krishna that we should end, because it's late, it's 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. Thank you. I should say one thing. You know, all over the world, this temple is known for your seriousness, your devotion, your intelligent inquiries, and your enthusiastic preaching work. So we are learning from you, and I'm very fortunate to have a few moments of your association. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
His Grace Badrinarayan Prabhu Ki. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your wonderful association, brilliant lecture and question-answer session. And we are really hoping that many of the youth here take your words very seriously and apply them in their own life and become a part of this wonderful mission of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada Ki.
You'll be rid of me in a minute. But I am 58 years old. I was at a juncture where I could have gone in one direction. Frankly, I had whatever I wanted for America. If I just stayed on board the course, I would have had everything. You know, well, we all don't know what our fate and destiny. I could have been hit by a truck the next day. But in principle, everything was there, you know? And people told me, so many people told me, you've lost your mind. You became a Hare Krishna devotee. You've lost your mind. I'm now 58 years old. I'm at the point, I went to one of my, high school reunion. The guy named Skippy's in a walker. Curly's gone bald. You know, I mean, the ravages of, everybody's got to wear a name tag because you don't know who's who, you know, because their body has changed, you know. And many, many, many people came up to me. And these are successful people, materially successful. They've got the, you know, Om Jaya Jagadishari, give me a house and a car by the, you know, by the sea. They got it all, you know. They have the whole thing. And so many of them told me, you know, my life is empty. I got everything I want and my life is empty. You did the right thing. So looking out at you, I can tell you, was it Frost? You know, two roads met at the road at night, you know, whatever it is. I took one and that has made all the difference. So there's two paths. I took one and that has made all the difference. I can tell you frankly, you give your life to Krishna. You become a Krishna Bhakta. And someday you'll be 60 looking back and thinking, Krishna saved me. And your friends will be saying, you did the right thing.
So now we have with us the temple president from Malaysia, His Grace Vishnu Chaitanya Prabhu, who was the brainchild behind this Damodar festival, which has been happening for many years in Malaysia, and now we started in Chowpatty also. And since this is the month of Kartik, we'll be singing now the Damodar Ashtakam. So we request the devotees standing behind to switch off the lights.